Good evening, you guys. Well, we were praying tonight, David and I, that God's children would hear his voice and they'd obey and they'd respond, because I just believe you're here tonight because he wanted you to be here and you heard his voice. So just want to let you know, I just have a sense how pleased he is that we're here and that you came here tonight. And you value your marriage as he does. We want to pray, but I'm going to read to you the name of our married couples ministry. The Lord's ministry is a threefold cord. So I'm going to read it to you again. I think we'll probably read it every time. You know what? If you want to open your Bibles, go ahead. It's in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. And if you open your Bible to the very center, you'll probably hit Psalms. And if you turn to the right, then you'll hit Proverbs and then Ecclesiastes. So two books past Proverbs, chapter 4, and we'll go to verse 9, and then we'll pray. And it says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion, but woe to him who's alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm, but how can one be warm alone? Though one may, and this is my favorite part, this last verse, though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And we know that threefold cord is a husband and a wife in marriage and Jesus Christ in the center of it. Jesus Christ in you and I, and that's the idea. So we believe with all of our heart the Lord has raised up this study to strengthen marriages. And so let's pray. We'll get into the word. Lord, we just want to thank you tonight for your beautiful presence with us here tonight. I thank you, Lord, for every marriage that's here and everyone represented here. Lord, I just thank you for my wife. I pray for healing for her back. I thank you for David's wife, Jenna, who is staying with her tonight to make sure she's okay. Lord, we pray for Leslie, that you would just touch her and just strengthen her and heal her up. Thank you for Chris and Kristen, Lord, outside just ministering to our children and grandchildren. Lord, we want to lift you, Chuck. We just thank you that he's here. So good to see him, Lord. And we pray for healing, continued healing for his knee, Lord. It's just great to see him. And so, Lord, I'm excited to teach your word, Lord. I pray that you'd help me and that you'd really help our marriages tonight. We'd leave with something in our hands we can really use, Lord, and allow you to change our marriages. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Okay, let me move this over a little. Well, my heart's full. It's full of joy. I just love the Lord's word. I really love what we're going to talk about tonight in regards to our marriages. I'm being convicted by it. I'm learning by it. I need it. I like things that we can use. I'm hoping when you leave tonight, you feel like the Lord put something in our hands that we can go home and not someday, but immediately change our marriages and our family. And I believe that. I think this is one of the most practical. I love practical studies. It's like the book of James when we taught that. James is just down to earth, nuts and bolts. Here it is. Do this. It works. And this is kind of like that. I don't know if we could do a more practical study than our study today. Well, you guys know the world we live in today, totally enamored, right, with power. Superheroes, people are drawn into the occult. Any ability on the screen or anything above and beyond normal abilities that all of us only have, right? There are no superheroes. It's make-believe. But there's something drawn, and then they get drawn to the occult, right? So the idea is people are hungering and attracted to power. That's the first point. Second, the world today, we want everything fast. We want it now, right? And we want it easy. Well, we're always looking for shortcuts. Do you remember growing up? There was always a shortcut to school, to the store, to our friend's house. Maybe you can think of one in your mind right now. I can picture my neighborhood. I can tell you where all the shortcuts are. The ditch that ran to the neighborhood behind us, so you didn't have to walk all the way around. There was a drainage ditch, and you could walk right through there. You go over the railroad tracks to get to the shopping center. You don't go all the way around. You know, you guys know, right? Shortcuts. Well, as we walk with our Lord Jesus Christ, you can be single, but we're married. There's no shortcuts. And in our marriages, no shortcuts. There are no shortcuts. And but we're going to learn tonight, things can change drastically because we're going to talk about our spoken words tonight. We're going to talk about our speech. And there's no shortcuts, but our speech can drastically change our marriage. And that can begin tonight with this teaching and this reminder from the Lord. Now, you and I, each person in here, you have the potential for incredible power, each and every one of us, because we have the Holy Spirit living within. And you go, okay. Now, real quick, I got a quote here. I'm not going to read it, but we wonder, why don't we see more miraculous power going on in the church today like we saw in the early book of Acts? One of the main reasons, I believe, is God needs to be able to trust us. And can he trust us? He could trust the early church. They were totally surrendered to him. They're not going to take the glory to themselves. They're going to obey him completely. God will let his power flow through a man or a woman who's that vessel. He will. But that's what he's looking for. But you have incredible power. Well, again, the world wants miraculous power. They want something to happen. This is real power. You and I have the Holy Spirit living inside now, and he's given us a voice, the power of our spoken words, and he wants us to remember it tonight. Mark Twain said, I can live for 2 months on a good compliment. Divide that into a year, and that's 6 compliments a year. If he got 6 compliments a year, he was good. That's how powerful it is, amen? And Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, both. That's power. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So God wants us to verbally affirm one another, and that's through compliments to each other as husband and wife and words of affirmation. 1 week ago tonight, I don't know how many of you were here, Dan and Betty celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary in this room. Great celebration. And what they did that night was they both shared things about that they love about each other. Those are words of very powerful words. Words of affirmation. And don't know if you've ever heard of this book. There's an author years ago in 1992 wrote a best-selling book, Gary Chapman, a counselor. He called it The 5 Love Languages. And I don't know how many of you ever read that book. But the 5 love languages are this. Quality time spent with each other lets us know. That can be telling your mate you love them. Receiving gifts. Acts of service. Physical touch. The one we want to talk about tonight. Words of affirmation. Words of affirmation. Speaking powerful words to each other led by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, we have the gifts of the Spirit, and we're filled with the Holy Spirit, and we believe in all the gifts of the Holy Spirit for today. Well, that gift of prophecy, that would be like if you come on a Wednesday night, right? And a lot of you do, and we pray, we'll have a time of waiting on the Lord, and the Holy Spirit will bring forth words of prophecy. And so what he'll do is Jesus Christ will speak through the Holy Spirit to his bride, the church, and he'll speak to us, you know? And those words will come from the Lord. Well, I wrote down here, 1 Corinthians 14:3 says, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. So let's say it's Wednesday night here. Someone shares a prophecy. Do you know what edification is? Building up. Exhortation is stirring up or encouraging. Comfort is cheering up. So wait a minute, just hold that thought. I love that because I was thinking when Jesus speaks to his bride, the church, it's to build up, to stir up and encourage, and to cheer up and comfort. if he speaks to us, the church, his bride, that way, isn't that what we are supposed to do to our bride and to our mate? We're supposed to be building up with our words, building up, that's edification. Stirring up and encouraging, that's exhortation. And comforting, cheering up with words. It fits. Now, love this story. John Trent, he's a Christian counselor. Recently, a woman grabbed my arm at a conference after I'd finished speaking on an enormous need we all have for affirmation. Dr. Trent, may I tell you my story? She asked. Actually, it's a story of something my son did with my granddaughter that illustrates what you've been talking about, the importance of affirmation. My son has two daughters. One's 5, the other one's in the terrible 2s. And he says, when a grandmother says this child is in her terrible 2s, believe me, she is. So she goes on and she tells him, for several years, my son has taken the oldest girl out for a date time. He's never taken the 2-year-old until recently. So on his first date with the younger one, he took her out to breakfast at a local fast food restaurant. They had just gotten their pancakes. My son decided it would be a good time to tell this child how much he loved her and appreciated her. Jenny, her son, had said, I want you to know how much I love you, how special you are to Mom and me. We prayed for you for years, and now that you're here and growing up to be such a wonderful girl, we couldn't be more proud of you. Once he had said this, all this, he stopped talking, reached over for his fork to begin eating, but he never got the fork to his mouth. His daughter reached out her little hand and laid it on top of her father's hand. His eyes went to her eyes, and in a soft, pleading voice, she said, longer, Daddy, longer. Longer, Daddy. She wanted him to keep talking. He put down his fork, proceeded to tell her some more reasons and ways they loved and appreciated her. Then he again reached for his fork. A second time and a third and a fourth time, he heard the words, longer, Daddy, longer. This father never did get much to eat that morning, but his daughter got, listen carefully, the emotional nourishment she needed so much. In fact, a few days later, she spontaneously ran up to her mother and said, I'm a really special daughter, Mommy. Daddy told me so. Isn't that a great story? But you know what, you guys? That's every woman in this room still, and every man in this room still. We were just like her. Emotional nourishment we all need so much. God made it thus and so, and that we would receive it from our mate. Is there anyone else that you would rather hear those words from than the one you're married to? When I teach a Bible study, it's like, I miss my wife tonight. And I'm good, you know, and I'll always be good with the Lord, but I love it when she's there because she's my greatest encourager. I know she's not 99.999% for me. I know she is 100% for me, and she knows what a stinker I am, and she's still 100% for me. And do you know, Ephesians 4, right? We use this verse a lot, especially when we have to correct one another. It goes like this, Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love, we may all grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Okay, you know what I was thinking? Why do we always think that's a negative verse, right? Don't we? I do. I have speaking the truth in love. That's when I have to correct you or you have to correct me. Speak the truth, but just make sure it's surrounded with love, right? I need to correct you. That's what I always think with that verse. I think we all do. Wait a minute. Flip it. Speaking the truth in love. How about speaking to each other, our spouses, our children, our grandchildren, our brothers and sisters in the Lord, the truth? In love, encouraging words, words that build up. This is what blesses me about you. Not flattery. Flattery always has a selfish motive. People who flatter are trying to get something. Spurgeon said, flattery is the lick of the wolf before the bite. It's always self-serving. You're always trying to get something. It's not flattery. It's spirit-led, God-given encouragement that he created us all to need and to give each other. I so need to grow in this area. I don't know about you, But I have leaps and bounds to go in affirming my wife this way. But this is real. And so the idea, though, is it can radically change. Now, we've been married 38 years. Do you know this last Christmas I shared this? Before we opened gifts with the grandkids, we marked each kid's height on the wall. And then we all sat down. And it was my wife's idea. It was God's idea. He gave it to her. She said, I really feel, and I resisted at first, and I said, no, I don't want to do that, Laura. She said, I think it'd be good if you gave a blessing to each grandchild and spoke to them. And I'm like, oh, Laura, I don't want to do that. Like, I'm really busy. I got a lot of work to do, a lot of studies to prepare, things to do. But also, that's like putting your heart out there. I know I'm going to get emotional. I'm going to lose it. But guess what? It was the Lord. He wouldn't leave me alone. I did it. So he gave me a scripture for each grandchild. We had him come up and sit between us, and I read the scripture, and then we just told them what a blessing they were to us and positive things we saw in them. It was like a sponge. It was like that little girl with her hand on her daddy, more, right? And so guess what we're going to do next Christmas? I can tell you, guess what they're already going to expect next Christmas, okay? Traditions, it only has to happen once. The second time, it's set in stone. Many years ago, first Thanksgiving, big family gathering, lots of food, all the women cooked, and my father-in-law, who's now gone, said, hey guys, I got an idea. The women have been working really hard. Let's do the dishes and clean up the whole kitchen, everything. They didn't have to do a thing. So we did it. Cool. A year later, after dinner, my mother-in-law, who's in heaven now, said, well, guys, it's time to clean up. It's tradition. It only had to happen once, right? It's tradition. But this past Sunday on Mother's Day, it only took me 5 minutes. I don't know why it's hard for me to do. It's hard for you and I to do, to affirm each other, because it's almost like we're putting our heart out there. It's a humbling thing to do. It's making yourself vulnerable. So all I did is I said, Natal Board kids, and Jen is their mom, my daughter, do you know what an incredible mother you have? You have an incredible mother. Shrewsbury kids, do you know what an incredible mother you have? And Solace girls, do you know what an incredible mother you have? And I've never done that before. They'd never heard it before. And I said, do you know why you guys have an incredible mother? Because they had an incredible mother. Your Nana is an incredible mother. But then words of affirmation for them. I said, Grace, you know what that tells me? You're going to be a wonderful mom. Because you have a wonderful mom. And boys, Caleb and Luke, you know what that tells me? So encourages me. You're going to pick a godly wife because you have that example. And Shrewsbury boys, you're going to look for a wife just like your mom. And Faith and Hannah, you're going to be wonderful mothers because you have a wonderful mother. So not only do they hear words of affirmation about their mom, they hear words of affirmation that this is what God's going to do in you. Now, that's the Lord leading me to do that. We've been married 38 years, and that's the first time we've done that. How about you? And it was not easy for me to do, and it's never too late to start. It's never too late to obey the Lord, you see. It's so powerful. And by the way, they're like, when at Christmas, when we were speaking to each kid in between us, the others were listening on pins and needles and waiting for their turn. Because now, you know what they knew? I'm going to get to go up there and I'm going to get to hear this and I want it. Because God made me to need it. It's one of the most powerful things. So all the little boys and little girls sitting in this room, little boy here, we haven't changed one iota from that little girl at Pancakes with her dad. And we need that from each other. And so it's hard work. It takes time. you know, in World War II, they had 90-day wonders. And because there were so many men going into the service, because it was a world war, you didn't have time to prove yourself as a soldier and then be made an officer. They had to pick guys to be officers like now. And then they had to get them through school, so they put them through 90-day officer candidate training school. They called them 90-day wonders. Kind of a little sarcasm in there, but hey, he's a 90-day wonder, you know, a lieutenant. In God's kingdom, no 90-day wonders, no marriages, 90-day wonders. I'm so convicted because our Lord Jesus said of you and I that out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth speaks. You and I know I do, can have a tendency to think that what I say out of my mouth really isn't my heart. If I say something bad, derogatory, critical, sinful about someone, I know I said it and I know I'm saying it, but that's not really my heart. You see, that's not, and we have a tendency, I think we all do, to disassociate those two and go, but that's not really me and it's okay. And Jesus said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. And he said, for out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Love this quote. One of the first things a doctor, a physician says to his patient is, let me see your tongue. Stick out your tongue. A spiritual advisor might often do the same. In other words, how physically healthy are you? Stick out your tongue. Let me see. How spiritually healthy am I? How's your tongue? Listen to your words, not his or hers. Your words coming out of your mouth, that is my heart. Ouch. Convicted. Amen. That's why David said in Psalm 19, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. They're the same. He's just working it backwards. The words of my mouth comes from what? The meditation of my heart. Let's work it backwards. Let my words going back into my heart, Lord, let them both be acceptable to you. Now, I love being convicted by the Lord because he never condemns us. We're all guilty. We all have, what God wants us to see here tonight is the incredible power we have for good and get excited about it, not feel condemned. Confess it to the Lord, start over again. Amen. Alexander White, man of God, he said years ago, the victorious Christian life is a series of new beginnings. Isn't that great? It's a series of new beginnings. It doesn't matter what happened yesterday. It doesn't matter what happened the last 38 years. Begin today, and you have incredible power filled with the Holy Spirit to use this for good. And not flatter, you see, to get something, but Lord, let me see those around me and let me build them up, especially my wife or my husband. And we hunger and thirst for it. So often, I haven't had you turn anywhere yet, just hang on there. Proverbs 27, we think of we think of two men, we think of brothers. Men's study, Friday morning. Proverbs 27, 17. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Well, if you get iron and iron and you get it working against each other, you got sparks. So that kind of contains, I'm going to speak the truth to in love to you. Sometimes there's going to be sparks. But you know who my best friend is my wife. You know who your best friend is the one sitting next to you, your wife or husband. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Why are you sharing that, Pat? Because real world is there's sparks, amen? We're married, there's sparks. Now, my grandpa used to say, you know, that was chemistry back in the old days. I remember my aunt saying, guy, you know, my parents, they wanted me to marry this guy so bad, but there was just no sparks, no chemistry. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about when we're married and we're living together and we don't agree and there's what? Sparks. It's like iron sharpening iron. It's every marriage, right? So here's the idea. You guys, do you know that it's all about respect? It's all about respect, respecting each other in our home and how we treat each other. I'll often quote 1828 Noah Webster Dictionary, and I love to go there because you look up a word and it's from almost 200 years ago. Then I'll go on my iPad, boom, I'll type it up, and I'll have the same word today. Sometimes I do that. With this word, respect, I did that. It's so watered down in 200 years what the world thinks respect means. It's like it's lost its power, its oomph. It's been watered down. So let's go back 200 years to what it really means. And Noah Webster said, respect is to esteem as possessed of real worth. Now remember, that's the one sitting next to you. I esteem you, husband. I esteem you, wife, to be of real worth. That estimation of honor in which men hold the distinguished worth or, listen, substantial good qualities of others. Words of affirmation. This is what you're good at. This is what I love about you. Let the Holy Spirit lead. It can be many, many things. Then he goes on, that course of action which proceeds from esteem, regard, or due attention as to treat a person with respect, possessing worth which deserves respect. Do you believe that the one next to you possesses such a worth that they deserve respect? God does. So listen, this is real world. Within our homes, nobody else around. You come over to my house, I come over to your house, we sit down, we're going to be very polite. We're going to be on our best behavior. The idea is to be that way when we let our hair down and we're at home. Now, it's great to let our hair down behind closed doors and relax. That's what home's all about. But that foundation of respect needs to be there. And when that goes, there's not much going to happen and not much progress. But if we will realize that God wants a foundation of worth and respect, and so much of it is the way we speak to other. How about this? Simple disciplines as within our four walls of our house, thank you to each other, husband and wife. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. You look beautiful, or you look great today. How are you? How about that one? How are you? Is there anything I can get you? As I'm going that way to the kitchen or wherever, is there anything I can get you? Or when something happens in response, that's okay. Or you did a great job, or how about this one? I missed you. I missed you, right? Powerful words. Now, saying nothing at all can be destructive. When we should say something and we don't say something, nothing, that can be destructive. However, saying nothing can also be very powerful. There's times when we shouldn't say anything. And saying nothing, if we can have that control, is very powerful. Are you and I able to say nothing? Do we have that control? Proverbs 21:23, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. Amen. The beginning of strife, Proverbs 17:14, is like releasing water. Proverbs 23 says it's honorable for a man to stop striving, since any fool can start a quarrel. Then it says in Proverbs 16, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. But Lord, how do I do that? That's why David said, Lord, set a guard over my mouth. You, Lord, set a guard over my mouth. What he's saying is, I can't do it. I won't do it. I'll blow it every time. But you, God, with living in me, Holy Spirit, will be the power to speak when I'm supposed to speak, not speak when I'm not to, choose my words. And guess what? We all sin greatly in this area. We all have all of our life. God's just trying to encourage us with the potential to do good that we have. Now, I'm talking about speaking, and I need to so work on that. I don't know about you, but you know what I need to work on just as much? Listening. Becoming a better listener. I need to work on that. I wrote something down. He, that's us as husbands. And this is respect. This is just like taking a towel and wringing it out and you just dripping with respect, right? So I got to ask myself, listen, he gives her, his wife, his full attention when she is speaking. He considers her point of view. He respects her opinions and empathizes with her feelings. In addition, he regards the issues that concern her as important, and he celebrates her triumphs and commends her for her virtues. That's what God would have us to do. James 1, 19 and 20, James said, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." He didn't say, "Swift to speak, slow to hear." That's me. Swift to speak, slow to hear. No, swift to hear, slow to speak is God's order. And again, Colossians 4, 6, Paul said, "Let your speech sometimes be seasoned with grace, always be seasoned with grace, like seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." Now, probably in your home, like mine, you've got a thermostat on the wall. A thermometer that tells the temperature. If you go home right now, it's telling how warm or cold it is in your house. And then the thermostat in there, the ability to change that, right? I wrote down here, God wants our words to be saturated and surrounded with respect. And we have the powerful ability to create the atmosphere within our homes. Do you know that you and I, as married couples, whether we still have children or not, we are creating the atmosphere, like the temperature, in our homes? You know what I wrote down here? Setting a mood, creating an atmosphere, setting a mood, and I wrote down like a candlelight dinner, right? You want to create an atmosphere. So the husband comes home from work, or vice versa, the wife comes home, and either husband or wife, lights are down low, candlelight dinner, nice dinner, music is playing. There's an atmosphere. We all get that, right? It's powerful. But every day, day in and day out, in our homes, we're creating an atmosphere. And is it an atmosphere of respect and how we use our words? And we are. And life and death is in the power of the tongue. It's very powerful. Proverbs 15 says, "In the house of the righteous, there's much treasure, but in the revenue of the wicked is trouble." Now, a thermometer merely reacts to the temperature in the home. This is what the temperature is. A thermostat sets it and regulates it. And the Holy Spirit wants you and I to be thermostats. We create and regulate. And you guys, if there's respect in our house, and every once in a while, Laura and I will stop, and I'll see us starting to slide down at home. And we try to work on please and thank you and talking to each other nicely, and even when we disagree. But then, you know, we all get tired and everything, and, you know, and I'll just pick up on it, and I'll say, you know what, whoa. Our respect is starting to slide. Let's bring our, not you are starting to slide, our respect level. The respect, the foundation is starting to go down. Let's bring that respect back. And because we've talked about it, like what we're talking about now, we both know what that means. And so immediately, okay, let's be careful just how we speak to each other, more politely and more kindly. Now, communication has three parts. They say only 7% of what you and I say, or communication, is you and try to talk to each other as husband and wife. Only 7% of that is the words you use. 37% is the tone of your voice. 56% is nonverbal body language. All three work together to send an accurate message, and each one has to be there to communicate effectively. Laura fell here last week setting up, so I've been taking care of her all week, and she's been needing me. I was so convicted by the Lord, because this is already the study he had given, but she can't do anything for herself, really, so she needs my help to get up, you know, to go to the bathroom, and everything she needs, I know I need to go get it and whatever. So here's the idea, you know, she can say, "Would you please go get this for me?" And I can say, which I have, "Sure," in a very positive way. "Sure, yes," right? And that's what she should hear every time. Now, you can say the same thing in a different tone, and it means a completely different thing. Would you go get this for me? Sure. Right? Completely different, amen? Sure is different than sure, right? But here's where I blow it. Could you please go get this for me? And I get up and I go do it, but I don't say a thing. That speaks volumes, amen? Because that's what tells her. And I'm so convicted of that, and I told her so. The Holy Spirit, she didn't tell me, the Holy Spirit convicted me that when I don't say, when you ask me to do something and I don't, in a positive way, say sure, number one, I'm not treating her with value and respect. But number two, when I'm just quiet and I just get up and go do it, that speaks so loud, I'm screaming. And she, what that tells her is, you're irritated, you're frustrated, you're tired, you're tried, and you don't want to really go do this. And I'm feeling like I'm a burden to you. It's powerful. It's powerful. Kind words. So all God wants us to do tonight is just remind us of that. And stir us up. We got to look at a scripture. We got to turn you at least one place. How about Ephesians 4, verse 29, and then we'll worship the Lord. Ephesians 4, 29. I would encourage all of us as married couples, do not let a day go by without telling each other that we love each other, husband and wife. Would you be so bold, Pat, as to say you believe that's God's will? You tell me. If we were to ask Jesus, we're married, you love us, you cherish us in our marriages. Lord, would you want us to be sure that we didn't let a day go by and we told each other every day we loved each other? He'd probably laugh and say, just once? Just once? You know? How about often? How about this? Have fun as my spirit leads. Amen? But yes, at least once. Well, Ephesians 4, 29, Paul said, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for, guy, I love this, circle it, necessary edification, little girl with her hand on her daddy's hand, more daddy, more, because she needs it and you and I need it. Your wife needs it from you. Your husband needs it from you. Don't let anything corrupt come out of our mouth, but what is good for, God says, edification, no, necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Lord, the only way we can do that is by the power of your Holy Spirit. Guys, look at verse 30 again. So often we hear this quoted. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. But just like a piece of bologna between two pieces of bread and a sandwich, context is everything. Do you know what grieving the Spirit of God, what grieves him more than anything? Right above that verse says, don't let anything corrupt come out of your mouth. Right after that verse, grieving the Holy Spirit, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you. I think what God is saying is that what really grieves him is what comes out of our mouth, because it comes out of where? Our heart. And so, lastly, verse 32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So, last thing I wrote, I'll read it. We have tremendous power and potential to be used by the Holy Spirit to make an immediate, yesterday's gone, an immediate difference in our spouse's life, in the atmosphere of our homes now. Imagine then, as we get in the habit and discipline of working on that, What will God do over time as we live every day? And he will, there's no shortcuts. It's a long haul, a godly marriage, but there can be an immediate change in the atmosphere of our homes and an immediate difference in the blessing of our spouse's life. So I've been very convicted by the Lord over this study, not discouraged at all, very much encouraged with the power that I have as a husband and you have in your marriage, led by the Holy Spirit. And not just you guys, in your kids' lives, your grandkids' lives, your brother and sisters in the Lord's lives, your neighbors. Oh my gosh, we have incredible power. And we can be used by God in mighty ways. And I think that's what God wants to remind us, something we can take home tonight like a tool and use immediately and change the atmosphere in our home or any situation. We meet together, seven men, to govern this church, and we look to the Lord. What we come back once in a while is the foundation needs to be respect. We're not always going to agree. Are you kidding? Are you kidding? Seven men get together and always agree? Well, are you kidding? A man and a woman get married and always agree? I mean, come on, right? But if we agree that there has to be a foundation that we, even when we disagree, we always speak to each other with respect, wow, great things can happen. But imagine, and it just goes downhill. It's over. It's over. There, it has to be. So in our marriages, in our homes, in our relationships, in our businesses, in the world, that's the foundation that God would want. And it's powerful. So let's close with a song, with one song, and worship the Lord. But before we do that, come on up, David. Before we do that, we're going to leave the lights on. I told Kristen and Chris we would end on time, and we want to. We want to end at 8:30 every Friday night for childcare, but also if people have other things to do. So let's have just a few minutes of prayer, and then David will close us in one last song, and he'll close us in prayer. So I just want to open it up now. Let's just pray for our marriages. It can just be a short 30-second prayer from whoever feel led of the Lord, and then when David's ready. And so I'll begin us, and then I'll sit down and give it over to David. And Lord, we just thank you for your love and your grace. And love it, Lord, when you show us our failures. But Lord, you're amazing when you do that. It's never to discourage us, and it never does. It's to encourage us and draw us to you. And all of us have sinned many ways and often with our tongues. And yet by the power of your Holy Spirit, we have an incredible potential and power. And so, Lord, help us, Lord, to be led of your Spirit to make a difference. And we're going to have to humble ourselves, Lord. And if we're not used to doing that, we're going to have to ask you to teach us how to do it. But, Lord, let it not be about us. Help us to get our eyes off of ourselves. Let it be to get our eyes on the one we're married to and their great need, like that little girl, Lord, their great necessary edification, their great need to hear words of affirmation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Found my soul cold.